On this edition of the program, a whole mess of TikTok, Tom Merritt and updates on abortion and Hamas. It's all coming up.
This is made possible by Blue Front and the Lenina. Owe them bones. Daily Tech News Show, V and Craig.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Politics, Politics, Politics program for April 26th, 2024. Your old pal Justin Robert Young joining you from Austin, Texas. We're going to talk a lot about TikTok in this episode, and we've got a great interview with Tom Merritt. It's going to be in a few minutes. Full disclosure, this is all being recorded on both Tuesday and Wednesday, although I don't think that any of the information is really going to be materially different by the time that you hear it Friday morning. That being said, there is something that I did want to update you on that has been posted since we recorded our interview with Tom, and that is this. And I think it's important, and I want you guys to walk through it with me. And that is a message from TikTok CEO posted to his own social network. Oftentimes, either on this program or on our bonus episodes for Patreon or our stream, I will break down ads from politicians, because in these situations, I don't believe there is a syllable that hasn't been thought about. Nothing is coming off the cuff here. This is all very, very calculated and planned political messaging in an ad. But when I watched this, I couldn't help but thinking that we had a lot of similarities between a political ad and what he posted. So I'm going to walk through this in a you know, stop and start kind of way here, but this is the video. If you are listening, obviously you are only going to hear it. Otherwise, if you are with us on YouTube, you are going to be watching it as well. Okay, here we go.
May have heard, Congress passed a bill that the president signed into law that is designed to ban TikTok in the United States. That will take TikTok away from you and 170 million Americans who find community and connection on our platform. Make no mistake, this is a ban. A ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice.
Okay, let's start right here. Number one, TikTok does not want this to be tamped down. They want their user base as active as possible because that is key to their survival. Now, they lost this battle in terms of making it costly politically to pass legislation. So the only move they have now is to make it costly after somebody has helped move this legislation through. Otherwise, they are just a punching bag. You never want to be in a situation like this when you're going up against the government, but it's honestly the only play that is at your disposal.
Politicians may say otherwise, but don't get confused. Many who sponsored the bill admit a TikTok ban is the ultimate goal. It's obviously a disappointing moment, but it does not need to be a defining one. It's actually ironic because the freedom of expression on TikTok reflects the same American values that make the United States a beacon of freedom.
USA, USA, USA. TikTok is America when you think about it. When you actually think about it, what makes TikTok good is what makes America good. Makes you think, IMO.
TikTok gives everyday Americans a powerful way to be seen and heard. And that's why so many people have made TikTok part of their daily lives. Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again. Our community is filled with people
who
found acceptance and compassion, offered inspiration and encouragement, increased their awareness, and brought into perspectives, ultimately adding more delight and joy to their lives.
Okay, let's play this one more time, because this was one of the big things that I thought mattered. because it is a direct refutation to the argument being made against one specific thing about TikTok, that it is weaponizing young people, that it is taking issues that wouldn't otherwise be a big deal, Gaza, and making them a far bigger deal that is having real world consequences. So pay attention to what he is saying right here.
Rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again. Our community is filled with people who have found acceptance and compassion.
Acceptance and compassion, right? You can't find acceptance and compassion and then be weaponized about negative things.
Inspiration and encouragement increase their awareness and broaden their perspectives.
There we go. That's what gives away the game. Increase their awareness and broadened their perspectives. All right. Are you somebody who's upset because your daughter is blocking traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge? Well, it's not TikTok's fault. She's probably watching comedy sketches. Indeed, she's probably finding more things out that are broadening. They're not pointing. They're not weaponizing. We're not shaving away other stuff. We're broadening somebody's perspectives.
Ultimately adding more delight and joy to their lives. Our community is also filled with 7 million business owners.
This is a huge part of TikTok's defense and something that they have kept from the very, very beginning. This is not a frivolous platform, TikTok, according to TikTok. This is a jobs platform. This is like banning the App Store. This is like taking away another way that Americans, hardworking Americans, make their living. In fact, in the television ads that TikTok has bought and put on the air in very, very key swing states, they only exclusively feature very red state Americans, bales of hay in the background, or older women. No teenagers. This is a serious place where serious people make money.
So their livelihoods on TikTok. While we make our case in court, you'll still be able to enjoy TikTok like you always have. In fact, if you have a story about how TikTok impacts your life, we'll love for you to share it.
Okay, there's another one. At the end of the day, you always want a call to action, especially if you are in a pinch like TikTok is in currently. TikTok's call to action in the past has been call your congressman. Make sure that they know that you don't want this to happen. That kind of backfired on him because it led to a lot of very high-voiced individuals screaming and yelling at their congresspeople, whether or not their congresspeople supported or didn't support a TikTok ban. It got a little ugly. So now what TikTok wants, and is probably behind the scenes recruiting, if not paying for the ability to tell their stories, although I don't think that they're going to have a lack of volunteers, but they want really good ones, are personal examples, very heartfelt examples of why TikTok made my life better. This is a wholesome app. This is a jobs app. This is a broadening of your perspective. It's basically a library where you can also work and you get really good lessons about life. That's essentially, it's like an after school special in your pocket. That's what TikTok is. And that's what Joe Biden wants to take away from you.
Showcase exactly what we're fighting for. Meanwhile, we will continue to invest and innovate to keep our community vibrant, exciting, and safe. Through our U.S. data security efforts, we have built safeguards that no other peer company has made. We have invested billions of dollars to secure your data and keep our platform free from outside manipulation.
Oh, there we go. TikTok has long demonstrated we are not a Chinese company. We are an American company. Look at our board of directors. Yes, we are owned by ByteDance, and we have our algorithm from Douyin. And yes, ByteDance is a company that is based in Beijing, but we are an American company. So I just want you to see the wording here one more time. We're going to keep our platform free from outside manipulation. Now, outside manipulation can mean a lot of different things. Every company wants to be free of outside manipulation. Every company wants to be outside of malicious actors or hackers or stuff like that. But when they say free from outside manipulation, what they want for people listening to this is to say, look, they're safer from China than other companies might be. Look at all the effort and time that they're putting into there. They're putting into the Project Texas, which is where U.S. data of TikTok and the algorithm is operated from. It was just a very specific term of art that I appreciated because, again, they are trying to make their case the best they can.
From outside manipulation. I can't say this enough. This extraordinary diverse community is what makes TikTok so special, what makes it matter, and what makes it meaningful. And we'll keep working to ensure you will always have the opportunity, the safety, and the freedom to enjoy all TikTok has to offer.
Opportunity, safety, and freedom. When you think about TikTok, TikTok wants you to think about opportunity, safety, and freedom. In that order, opportunity, jobs, safety. We are free from China. And the other one. What was the other one? I already forgot it. Here we go.
To ensure you will always have the opportunity, the safety, and the freedom.
Oh, the freedom. And the freedom. The freedom. USA. USA. Freedom is what America is built on. How could you take away something that gives people freedom? Why on earth would you want less freedom in the United States of America? That is TikTok's claim. It is a pitch to a more conservative perspective. It is a pitch to a freedom of speech perspective. It is a pitch to an American dream perspective, but it is not a renegade pitch. Because right now, TikTok is in very, very confusing political waters, and that's something that we are going to get into with Tom Merritt right after this update. This is your update brought to you by TakePoliticsSeriously.com. Thank you to everybody who supports this show. Thank you to everybody who gets our $3 Club bonus episodes each and every week on this show. Fully independent operation. Right? And you guys have made it stable enough that I got a baby on the way. A baby on the way. Good Lord. That's what independent media. Independent media come that damn far that I got a baby on the way. Thanks to you guys. Oh, brother. Greatly appreciated. Let's go ahead and get to some stories that we didn't have a chance to get into in this very TikTok heavy episode. The Supreme Court engaged in a tense deliberation over the conflict between Idaho's comprehensive abortion ban and the Federal Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, which mandates hospitals provide necessary treatments, including abortions, to stabilize patients in emergencies. This marks the court's first examination of a state abortion prohibition since the 2022 reversal of Roe versus Wade. Both conservative and liberal justices scrutinized Idaho's stance that federal law should not compel state hospitals to perform abortions. Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Amy Coney Barrett appeared undecided, despite questioning Idaho's arguments. Meanwhile, other conservative justices also expressed skepticism about the federal government's authority to challenge state healthcare regulations and highlighting the complexity of this debate. During the session, security at the court was heightened. Justices showed less patience than they did in previous sessions, actively engaged with the attorneys, and some justices voiced their frustration about the case's presence in the court in the first place. Decisions in this case and others concerning the FDA's regulation of the abortion pill, mifepristone, are expected in June. These rulings are anticipated just months before a presidential election where abortion will decide some really, really critical demographics. The argument suggested the potential shifts in judicial perspectives, particularly from Brett Kavanaugh, who acknowledged the real-world impacts of current abortion restrictions. Essentially, the case in an absolute back-of-the-envelope, derp-dumb way is about the right of a patient who is pregnant and will die if they do not terminate the pregnancy for the hospital to be allowed to carry that out, even if there is a full abortion ban like there is in Ohio. I believe that a lot of this can and should be settled by legislative action, either in the state houses or on the federal levels, so we can set into a concrete law exactly what life of the mother really is in very clear terms. I think that that would be wildly popular nationwide. But in the meantime, you've got to legislate a lot of thorny issues that were destined to pop up after the reversal of Roe versus Wade, regardless of if you think that that was bad law, which obviously the Supreme Court did. The reality is it had been settled law for a long time. We did not have the legislative scaffolding to make up for it being turned over. And I mean, now that you guys know that some of this is not hypothetical for me, I've got a pregnant wife in a state that has had some really dicey situations with exactly what is medically necessary treatment. Let's just say I'm for getting some common sense understanding on this, because these issues need to be settled. We'll see what the Supreme Court has to say about it in June. Let's swing over to another gigantic hot button abortion issue, this in Arizona. The Arizona House has passed legislation repealing the state's 1864 near total abortion ban with unexpected bipartisan support. Republican Representatives Tim Dunn, Justin Wilmoth, and Matt Gress joined all Democrats in voting for the bill, overcoming previous Republican attempts to block it. The successful vote, 32-28, marked a significant shift in the state's political landscape regarding abortion rights. The bill now will progress to the Senate, where similar bipartisan efforts will be needed, although that chamber was already putting together their own bill, so it looks more likely to pass there. Governor Katie Hobbs, a Democrat, has strongly advocated for the repeal. The debate around the repeal has intensified partisan tensions within the Arizona GOP. House Speaker Ben Toma criticized the repeal, arguing it reflects a Democratic preference for unregulated abortion, a viewpoint not widely supported by Arizonans. In contrast, some Republicans, influenced by national political pressures and potential election consequences, have supported the repeal, recognizing the backlash that an outdated law has ignited, particularly in swing states like Arizona. The discussion also highlighted extreme positions within the GOP, with some members making highly controversial statements on abortion. If repealed, Arizona would default back to its 15-week ban, with the old law potentially taking effect in June unless changes are made. The situation reflects a broader national and state level reckoning on abortion rights, post Roe versus Wade. Arizona GOP, what are you doing, dude? What are you doing? Arizona's a red state. You should be able to win statewide. Do you want Democratic control of your institutions, of your Senate seats, of your governor's mansions? Because stuff like this is how it happens. So whomever stood up and repealed this pre-statehood law on the most hot button issue of this election season, target them to run for state office. If the Arizona GOP doesn't recognize that, boy, I don't know what to tell you. Finally, Hamas recently released a video of Hirsch Goldberg Polin, a 23-year-old Israeli-American hostage, as a gesture to the Qatari government, following their push for proof of life evidence. The video, showing Goldberg Polin with visible injuries, was passed from Qatar to the United States and Israel, highlighting Qatar's pivotal role as a mediator. The move by Hamas places increased pressure on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to negotiate, while also showcasing Qatar's influence and capability in mediating complex international issues. Well, specifically this complex international issue. The release of the video comes at a critical time as Qatar considers reevaluating its mediation between Israel and Hamas due to frustration with both parties' negotiation tactics. The Qatari prime minister has expressed concerns over the lack of serious commitment from the negotiating parties to reach a resolution. So Qatar's like, don't blame us. Look, we're going to do our best to try to figure out a deal, but Hamas doesn't seem particularly willing to make a deal. And there's going to be a limit to what Israel will offer. Israel's not going to offer to leave Gaza. That's just not going to happen. And meanwhile, Hamas is like, well, we're not releasing the hostages until you give us a full ceasefire and essentially declare that you couldn't kill our leadership. Meanwhile, the U.S. continues its diplomatic efforts with President Biden recently meeting with young Israeli-American who was previously held by Hamas, emphasizing the ongoing plight of the hostages. As Israel's war cabinet plans to discuss new initiatives to negotiate or to advance negotiations, the international community watches closely, hoping for a breakthrough. I'm not in those meetings. I can only follow the reports just like everybody else. But what I said before seems to be the sticking point. That being said, it does appear that Israel is taking their own public relations a little bit more seriously. There have been reports that humanitarian aid has had an easier time finding its way into Gaza, and Israel is making loud noises about how and where refugees would be moved from the final area that they need to take, the IDF does, to dismantle Hamas. That being said, you've got a lot of noise on the ground in Gaza that mass graves have been found underneath hospitals. I got a rule. Here's my rule. It has nothing to do with Israel. It has nothing to do with Hamas. I don't react immediately to war news. Nobody's incentivized to tell the truth during a war. Everybody is incentivized to lie because their goal is not to win a truth-telling contest. Their goal is to win the war. I don't know from what the IDF says or what Israel says or what is coming out of Gaza, which has a large chance of being driven or created by Hamas. I don't know what's true. And this is not to say that I have a bet one way or another. I just don't know. And I'm going to stick to that because, boy, having strident opinions on an ongoing war is a really, really, really fast way to make yourself look like an idiot. Or at least it has been for me in the past. That is your update. TakePoliticsSeriously.com is where you need to go if you want to support this show. $3 Club gets you two bonus episodes each and every week. And the $10 tier gets your name read at the end of the show. Thank you very much. Now, Tom Merritt. As we are recording this, TikTok's divestiture and possible ban is sitting on the desk of Joe Biden, metaphorically, and is awaiting his literal signature, along with a bunch of other stuff, which is the reason why it's definitely going to get signed and the reason why it passed both the House and the Senate. And so, dear listener, I want to bring you into a private conversation that has been ongoing throughout this entire process with the one, the only host of Daily Tech News Show, Tom Merritt. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Thanks for having me back, Justin.
What the hell is going on?
No one knows. I mean, there's lots of people who say they are aware of what's going on or give reasons, but no one really knows what's going on behind the scenes. Let me explain why I think this is so odd. There's a couple of reasons. The most recent is the turnabout, right?
Yes.
When the first version of the divestiture bill was passed in the House, it looked like it was just going to lay around on the Senate and mm-hmm. die of being ignored. And then suddenly it's being packaged in with foreign aid. Which is a thing the you do when you're like
must pass that must pass not, gets yeah, these days.
This might not pass otherwise, but we'll make sure it passes by putting it with those things. But also it's not actually attached to Ukraine or Israel or Taiwan directly. It's in a fourth bill just in case. It looks like they gave it a little escape clause there. So that whole procedure is weird. And then the Senate just going like, oh, that bill. Oh, well, now that you've made it 9 months instead of 6 months, of course we'll pass it, which doesn't track with anything else. And then there's my longer term puzzlement about what is it exactly about TikTok that has it up people's rear ends as far as wanting to go so far as to write a piece of legislation that names it. Like, yeah, you can ban any app controlled by a foreign adversary, but you have to ban TikTok owned by ByteDance. It's in the law. So why go after TikTok so hard? And we have lots of theories and reasonable theories about why it might be, but it is unusual because there are plenty of other apps that have effects on people and have people's private data that have a majority Chinese ownership, like mainland yeah, Chinese ownership, that aren't getting the attention. And I'm not saying they won't now, but, you know, there's something about TikTok, which also has bent over backwards to say we'll have a separate company that will have members of the United States government on its board handle the algorithm and the data. Yeah. Like, you can't go any farther than TikTok has gone without selling TikTok and its algorithm to somebody.
So let's take the historical window of this first, before we get into relitigating the why of all of this. I first started talking to you about this as something that was serious when I was watching some of these House subcommittees that had all of the various different social media folks. And look, people getting beat up for the pleasure of everybody watching C-SPAN is now a semi-annual tradition that happens on Capitol Hill. All the CEOs come out now that the Zoom era is over. They have to again physically fly to Washington, D.C., prostrate themselves before Congress. Sometimes Senator Hawley makes Zuckerberg apologize to random people in the audience, and he does it. Other times he just gets made fun of before his new makeover as apparently a Dominican minor league baseball player. Sorry. But that whole circus began to focus more and more on TikTok, and you started to see less and less of a bipartisan divide on it. People were mad about TikTok for different reasons, but they were equally mad about TikTok. Democrats for safety reasons, Republicans for China reasons. And that's when I first remember talking to you and saying, hey, the guardrails that normally end things like this or delay things like this are starting to go away. We don't have bipartisan fighting. And we don't have the industry. Normally, if the government goes after somebody in social media, the rest of social media stands up and says, absolutely not. That's ridiculous. In this case, everybody, including Facebook, Google, and Snapchat, are standing up and saying, man, these commies really need to get out of here. Huh?
Meta particularly is like, I mean, look what happened in India when you banned TikTok and everyone used Instagram, our product, instead. Gosh, wouldn't that be great if that could happen in the United States of America?
By the way, there was, I can't believe, I don't know if it was a Washington Post or a New York Times article, but I can't imagine it was not pitched by Meta, about an Indian content creator who was very big on TikTok, was horrified when it got banned, but then found out, oh, I could just be on Instagram. And now I'm just as famous as I was before.
Yeah. And there's YouTube Shorts, says Alphabet over in the corner. Like, exactly. Don't worry. Yeah, you'll be fine.
So that was the first step. The second step that was odd was all of a sudden in a house that cannot agree on anything, they all get on the same page and decide to write this bill that bans TikTok if they do not forcefully divest within, at that point, a 6 month period. So that's odd. House doesn't agree on anything. Republicans don't agree with each other on anything. Democrats don't agree with each other on anything. And yet they all agreed after seeing apparently one presentation by our intelligence community that they agreed with this. That gets pushed up to the Senate, which brings us to where you were saying that you thought it was just going to be a roly-poly bill that'll just sit around there. And then at some point, maybe somebody will do something, or maybe we get a few more of these committee meetings, and maybe the CEO of TikTok has to come back to DC and have a bunch of things yelled at him. But other than that, it'll probably not do anything. And that's because Senator Cantwell of Washington, the head of the Commerce Committee, was very skeptical about why this was happening and was doing the time honor technique of how to kill a bill that you don't want to be in opposition of, which is say, I love this bill. I wish it did more things.
And I want to hug it very tightly.
Oh, yeah. Just give it that real. And so her point of view initially, the quotes that she had initially was, oh, I want full regulation of all social media. I want what you are saying we should be doing for TikTok. We should make everybody sell to everybody else. Maybe they can do it in some kind of line. And then all of a sudden, the bill randomly gets packaged here, and now it's rocketed through the Senate. I think that the first text that I sent you was Senator Cantwell very quietly on a Friday saying, oh yeah, I like this new version of the bill.
Which, again, if you missed it when I said it earlier, is different only in that it's 9 months instead of 6 months.
3 months
they have to divest. And you'll see it reported as 12 months because they gave the president the option to tack on another 3 months if he wants to.
Yes. So it could be up to a year. Now, that assuredly pushes it past some random arbitrary date at the beginning of November. Good Lord, why would anybody even think that that was something that would be a consequence of this? But it also means that nobody in the Senate has to debate this. Nobody in the Senate has to take a strong position on it. And that was the opinion of Matt Laszlo, who's a congressional reporter. And again, nobody has any idea why this is happening. Not congressional watchers, not congressional reporters, not people on the tech side like you, not parking dogs on the internet like me. Nobody has any idea. But Laszlo's theory was, well, it's not going to happen because the Democrats don't want to piss off young voters. Young voters are a specifically sticky constituency for them in this election. And so I guess at the very least, now the Senate doesn't need to be loudly banning TikTok and yet banning TikTok nonetheless.
Yeah. They are going to get a constitutional challenge. ByteDance has said we will challenge this in court. ByteDance successfully challenged a similar ban on the distribution of TikTok in the state of Montana in the United States. There was no divestiture in that one. It was just a straight, you are not allowed to distribute TikTok to citizens of the state of Montana. ByteDance challenged that in court on constitutional grounds, said that is a violation of the First Amendment protection that the government can suppress speech. And the court said, yeah, it seems legit. I think ByteDance has a case. Montana didn't take it any farther than that. And so it stood that ByteDance won that. Most of the constitutional scholars and legal experts that I've seen say that ByteDance has a very strong case. Nothing is ever guaranteed, but that they have a very strong case to say, look, we're a Cayman Islands company with a US-based TikTok LLC. So this is a US company as far as the courts are concerned. And there's 170 million US users on this app who want to use it to speak. Why does the government get to abridge our freedom of expression in this particular case? And it will be up to the courts to decide. I think that is part of this whole calculus of it won't get banned right away anyway. Not only do you have a year-long divestiture, but the clock on that won't even start ticking if ByteDance is going to be able to get an injunction, which it is likely to be able to get.
Which means that we're probably not going to see a lot of movement on this immediately, but yet it is now ever closer to getting banned. And ironically, because this is happening in an election year, it's by the sitting president, who is the only of the two candidates to have an official TikTok account.
Right. And if all plays out as I'm expecting, I honestly, even if the clock starts ticking, TikTok doesn't go away until a year from now. Right. So You will be able to have the president's campaign use TikTok to explain to you why they need to ban TikTok should they want to do that.
Which I don't suspect the official TikTok account will do. An official TikTok account, by the way, which has made very, very clear that they are not using White House phones, which ban TikTok because it is because of its ownership structure. And then that leaves the other side of this, the politics side of it. The fact that the person who doesn't have an official TikTok account, the guy who initially sought to ban TikTok, Donald executive John Trump.
Order. Yeah, tried to do this by executive order rather than legislation.
He is now the champion of TikTok, saying that young voters should understand that it was one man and one man alone who took away or is threatening to ban their precious social media app of choice. That is Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. And Donald Trump stands very much against this blatant move to help Joe Biden's paymasters at Meta.
I believe that that may be the only part of this entire story that I understand, which is President Trump is never going to let a charge of hypocrisy get in the way of him making a good point for his campaign. And so he will very cheerfully say, you know, it's true that President Biden is the one banning this, not me right now. And I'm going to take full advantage of that until such time that I'm president, in which case, if I'm the one banning it, then it's the best idea in the world. And he won't think twice about it. It's not a problem.
I very rarely am flummoxed by these kinds of stories, especially the ones where I actually have more knowledge than the average bear politically because of my work with you on Daily Tech News Show and all of its previous incarnations. But I got nothing here except to say that, you know, China stuff heats up around election year. This is a China thing. And Biden doesn't want to get out China'd.
The only thing that makes sense to me technologically, which is the way between the two of us with our pooled expertises, we can look at this, is that this is akin to restricting selling chips to China. Part of the United States strategy of technology is to starve China's ability to progress. There are concerns that China might make advances into technology that would put the United States at a security and possibly military disadvantage. Those concerns largely center around AI, both the chips used to make them and the implementation and development of them. And there may be something, maybe with the TikTok algorithm, but maybe just broadly speaking, of restricting China's ability to do research to say, let's not give a bunch of money to a Chinese company that is going to be used to advance Chinese interests. Let's punish them technologically, not only by restricting what chips can be sold, not only by restricting what kinds of equipment to make chips can be sold to them, but let's take away a pipeline of money into one of those companies who is also researching AI. ByteDance is doing that. So, you know, smoking gun right there, by taking away 170 million lucrative users from them.
Yeah. If we're going to look at this in the long view, it feels like the latest and maybe the most colorful part of a deal gone bad from the American perspective. And if we go all the way back to the World Trade Organization and America being on the side of China getting favorable status so they could continue to build up their economy, the idea that America would invest a lot, American supply chain would move a lot over to China. There was these sunny days, and we can all remember them in the aughts and early tens when, oh boy, the next front of American capitalism opens up in China. Sure, we got to go through a few getting to know you years where maybe the deal isn't going to be as great for the United States, but we'll always get cheap goods. But American companies won't be able to expand in the same kind of way. We just got to make sure that they get to know the CEOs. It's just the way the culture works. And then eventually, American companies aren't allowed to do business, or they have to pair with local Chinese companies. The Chinese investment happens in America, but they won't really allow the same kind of investment for American companies there. And now, starting with Trump, we have seen the pullback of that. And this is, I guess, if you look at it from that perspective, they're like, no, now we want to play by your rules. You won't allow our social media networks. You won't allow our companies in there. You don't respect IP. Then we're going to start playing hardball with you. Now, that's an abstract layer above what everybody is saying that is signing these bills and that is pushing for these bills. But if you look at it on that abstract layer, I guess that makes sense. But nobody's making that argument right now.
No, it would be a bit of a game of 3D chess if that's the case. And it might be the case to say on a meta level, you know that we know that you know that we're trying to get you to change something. And until you do, we're going to keep taking away pieces.
Yeah.
The technology and export control side of this strikes me very similar to what happened with Huawei. And if listeners are unfamiliar, Huawei is a technology company in the United States or in China that makes networking equipment and cell phones and laptops and a lot of other electronics. It's probably most similar to Samsung in a way, although it's not as wide ranging in other businesses as Samsung is. And several years ago, under the Obama administration, the United States started cracking down on Huawei. It started by going after its networking equipment and saying customers who run telecommunications networks probably shouldn't use Huawei equipment. And we're not going to build any government networks with Huawei equipment. Eventually that became, we are not going to give you any funding. The FCC is going to crack down on you if you have Huawei equipment. And there was never any real evidence of any backdoor. It was all theoretical. It was all, maybe it could happen someday. And so better safe than sorry. Let's not do it. TikTok is the same way. There's no evidence of TikTok using U.S. data for anything nefarious. It would be kind of harder for them to use U.S. TikTok data for anything nefarious than to just buy better data on the open market or surveil it themselves. So TikTok doesn't even seem the most likely way they would want to misuse information. And as I mentioned, TikTok has agreed to let a separate company manage all the U.S. data. So it's even more difficult for them to get it. Again, not impossible, but more difficult for them to get that data. So it just doesn't seem like that's a real security threat, but they're playing it up as one in order to stop a company from doing something like they did with Huawei. And they almost got Huawei to go under. They didn't. Huawei's bouncing back now. It has figured out, you know, how to build itself back up in mainland China. But it took years for them to do that. And I think they'd like to make that happen with ByteDance as well.
ByteDance is a fascinating company. I would very much encourage folks to read up on ByteDance, how much ByteDance and specifically the Beijing and Chinese tech scene is, in this case, they out-competed America on social networking. Like they built a product that is today, as we speak to you, April 23rd, a better product than Facebook Reels, than Instagram Reels, than anything that Facebook has done, than anything that Snapchat has done, anything that YouTube has done. Their algorithm is better. Their UI is better. They are just quite simply more popular. And they did it in a very Chinese way, which is one of my favorite things that I learned about TikTok, is that the Chinese tech scene is far more willing to solve problems by way of throwing a kajillion human bodies at it than America is. You know, Silicon Valley is very much, it's like, oh, well, we could solve it if we had 10,000 people working 24 hours a day. And Silicon Valley says, well, that's obviously ridiculous. We'll wait until we can figure it out technologically. China's like, wait a minute, you're saying it's only 20,000 people 24 hours a day?
We got that.
Yeah, let's go. And that's the reason why their algorithm is so good, is that they had a lot of human eyes cataloging videos as they came in, which made their algorithm better. They did it over successive different apps that happened in China. And so by the time that they ported it around the world with various different acquisitions, that it became the product that it is right now. What I don't know is whether or not they have ever expected that anything was going to happen. And let me ask you this, Tom, should they have expected it after they got straight out banned from India?
Yeah, that is something that probably people don't understand as well as they should. India and China share a border, and they don't always share it kindly. and they sometimes shoot at each other across the border, which it sounds quite scary. And so at one point, India said, we are going to ban all of these Chinese apps from being distributed by any app store in India. So that's Google Play Store, Apple App Store, whatever. You can't distribute it. You can't be an internet service provider that provides access to that service, like the whole hog. And they didn't do the punitive, please sell it, because probably maybe because Indian investors weren't majority or part owners of any of those things. They just said, you can't do it anymore. That's it. You're cut off. And it wasn't just TikTok. It was hundreds of Chinese apps, which to me was more consistent. Like if you're actually worried about China having an influence, you cut them all off, which is what India did. And so ByteDance was able to survive that because India is a big market and was very popular for TikTok. They were able to survive that because they still have China, mainland China. They use Douyin, a different name for an app, but it's essentially the same thing as TikTok, just run in China. And then the rest of the world gets TikTok, and that's Europe and the United States and Sub-Saharan Africa, Middle East, you know, South America, et cetera. But really the United States and probably Europe are their biggest markets there. I think they did know this was coming, and I think that's why you saw USDS get created and them agree to put data on Oracle servers, because they know that if they lose the United States, they won't disappear, but they will be a fundamentally different company.
Yes, they will be predominantly a mainland Chinese company.
They will be a predominantly mainland Chinese company like Huawei is now, and they will be making less money because of that.
Let's take this seriously. Divestment. Who bubbles up here? Who's even possible to bubble up here? Because the companies that you would possibly imagine, including some of the competitors that we named, the other thing that people like to yell at them about during those struggle session congressional meetings are about how they've gobbled up too many competitors and they haven't, and they are functional monopolies. So who even steps in here? If we're to take it seriously, who even steps in here and buys TikTok?
So it's a little bit of a fan fiction to get to that point where someone would buy TikTok from ByteDance. Mm-hmm. First of all, you have to get past the constitutional challenge, which my opinion is there's a better chance that ByteDance prevails and gets this law struck down than not. But there's also a chance, a decent chance that they don't.
So especially when it's national security, national security, national security.
So, you know, I maybe call it, you know, there's a 44% chance that they don't. And then if they lose the constitutional challenge, ByteDance has said they won't sell it. The government of China has said they will oppose a sale, which even though ByteDance is not technically a Chinese company, its headquarters is in China. 20% of it's owned by the co-founders who are in China. Most of the employees are in Beijing. And I think we all know how this dance goes. Yes. And if the government of China says you're not going to sell it, then they're not going to sell it. So let's imagine a scenario where the government of China goes, well, if that's the deal, maybe we'll let you, right? And maybe it's a financial pressure, or maybe it's a concession in a back channel from the United States or whatever, right? Let's say we get to the point where they sell it. My guess is it's a consortium of investors. And my guess is that those investors might come from Jeff Yass's Susquehanna International Group and possibly SoftBank, Kohlberg, Kravis Roberts. How do I have these names at the top of my head? Because I'm looking at a list of the major shareholders of ByteDance right now. And I'm guessing that the only reason you haven't seen the 60% of ByteDance's owners who aren't Chinese, who are Western, either European or the US, not try to oppose this more is they assume that they will get their money some way. And that might be another way that they get it.
So you would say it is, and again, a lot of different reasons. Trust me, tech and international relations scholars, save your emails. We understand that there's a lot of miles of road to go between here and there. But let's say that there is a scenario where selling is a thing, that it's more likely that it happens with known investors in ByteDance currently that essentially set another offshore predominantly owned by these people, and then maybe a licensing of the algorithm or some kind of version where the algorithm is at least controlled.
That's the biggest hang up, right?
Yes.
Because you buy two things when you buy TikTok. You buy the algorithm and you buy the brand. And ByteDance,
the users. Yeah.
If and the user base, the 170 million users, correct. So let's call it three things. You get the user base, you get the brand, you get the algorithm. Let's assume ByteDance will not sell that algorithm, right? The current situation is that USDS, again, not owned by ByteDance, implements the algorithm, but they don't get the source code for it. There's a lot of reasons why this wouldn't be an acceptable satisfaction of the divestiture clause, but let's say that USDS becomes TikTok. Let's say that, okay, you will sell TikTok, so whatever parts of it are not already part of USDS, we'll just put into USDS, and we'll continue to give them access to the algorithm the way they have it now. So all of the user data is under the US version of TikTok. The algorithm is still maintained by ByteDance. There's a lot of problems with that. Apparently, it is a nightmare to try to implement an algorithm without knowing what is in it.
Knowing what's happening.
And it causes issues with USDS all the time. They take a long time to try to figure out bugs and changes because of that. But let's say that's what they do. That would be the only thing that would make TikTok feel like it does now and not be part of ByteDance. And it's something we've almost got already. If you don't have the algorithm, you have a much less valuable property, because while you have the users and you have the name, you are not going to have the quality of experience. And very quickly, people will start to go, well, wait, this isn't interoperating with the rest of TikTok worldwide, first of all.
Yeah.
It is. And the recommendations don't seem to be as good as they used to. So I'm just going to jump to Reels. I'm just going to jump to Shorts. I'm not sure how many investors, when they're being honest, which they will be when they have to write their check, will want to write a check for that.
Which then brings us to exactly how much does it sell, and why are you forcing divestiture on something that right now would probably fetch the biggest haul if it were to earnestly sell? Let's imagine China's like, social media, who needs it? Whatever, ByteDance, go do whatever you want. And they were to actually just say, we're cashing out. What would you fathom it gets on the open market if this is an actual bidding?
I have no idea.
It would be a merger with one of the gigantic tech companies. Like that, it would be at that
I don't
level.
Think Meta or Alphabet, AKA Instagram and YouTube, would be allowed to buy this.
They would not.
There's
a lot of fan fiction here on exactly who would even be able to be in the bidding, of which.
So Snap maybe gets some investors to come in and back it. They'd have to get outside investors to come in and do a merger or a partnership or something. Microsoft expressed interest the first time when President Trump tried to do an executive order to sell it. So they will talk about it. Whether they will write the check or not is a whole separate thing.
But that was in an era before they found their meal ticket for the next several decades in AI.
That is an interesting thing I hadn't thought of. Microsoft not only has a partnership with OpenAI, which is one of the leaders in all of this stuff space, but also has their own internal development. Mm-hmm. Microsoft might be confident to say, we got our own algorithm. It's fine.
Yeah.
We think it's pretty good. They may or may not be right, but they might be self-confident enough to do that. I don't know.
And that's the other question is like, would you be buying at the absolute height? Are we rapidly going to find.
Yeah. Don't forget, it's not even just the recommendation algorithm, but also the interoperability. ByteDance already shoots itself in the foot by not letting you interoperate with the mainland Chinese user base. It would be even bigger if you did, but they don't. And because of that, they're slightly less big than they would be. Imagine if there's a US version that also doesn't interoperate with the rest of TikTok.
Hoobly.
There might even have to be a name change. They might not sell the name. They might sell the company and not the brand. It just doesn't really. Every time I start to think about this, I start to get tired trying to figure out the nuance because I'm like, they're not going to sell.
This is my last thought on this. The reason why it's so fascinating, I think, to Tom and I, is that from both sides of this, the political side and the tech side, when pieces like this are moving, it's never quiet. You've got a lot of people off the record that are talking. You have a lot of people on the record that are talking. You have a lot of sources say. You have a lot of rumors. There's just buzz. There's things that happen. You're hearing it right now with like the NBA rights deal. You heard it a year ago, the beginnings of, well, look at this. Well, you know this. But, and that just means meetings are happening. People are talking. Mm-hmm. That radius gets wider and wider.
I can tell you a whole lot about Paramount's possible merger and what Sherry Redstone wants to do with it than I can about TikTok.
And this has been silent. We haven't heard. You have like Steve Mnuchin going on CNBC and saying, I'll find money. But like, that doesn't mean anything. Well,
former CEO of Blizzard also said he wanted to put together a posse.
And it was reported that he was at a dinner and he was literally, it's just a bunch of rich guys saying, hey, rich guys, what do you say? We buy TikTok. That's a rich guy conversation that happens every day in Nobu.
Sure. Yeah.
Like there's no reason that's not actual news. That's just a rich guy talking. This has been comparatively silent on every side of it, on the China side, on the DC side, and on the Silicon Valley side. And I'm with you. You could tell me a year from now, 9 different ways that this lands, up to and including literally nothing happens, and I'd buy all of them. None of them seem implausible to me.
The only thing that fits the profile of being this silent is the intelligence community being involved, which we absolutely know they are, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe that shades a lot of it, and I assume it does. The closest thing, as I've said, that this mirrors is what they did with Huawei, what the United States did with Huawei. The difference was they didn't try to divest Huawei. They just said, don't use their equipment, don't sell their phones here, and we kind of hope they go out of business. We don't really care.
Yeah.
The difference is Huawei was majority owned by Chinese investors, and ByteDance is 60% owned by non-Chinese investors, one of which is a big donor to a presidential candidate. So divestiture makes sense in that, well, we have to do this, but let's make you guys whole. We'll try to get them to sell.
That's the other thing that just tickles me is Donald Gyat Trump, Gen Z skibbity toilet hero, a protector of TikTok. Oh, Lord. All right. Tom Merritt, Daily Tech News Show. I can't imagine this will be the last time we talk about this subject. So until next time, friend.
I assume it will come back up. Thank you.
And that'll wrap it up for us today. Politics, 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 written and hosted by me, Justin Robert Young, for Dog and Pony Show Audio in Austin, Texas. TheYoungAmerican@gmail.com is where you need to go if you want to send me an email. I'm curious your perspective on the TikTok stuff. I want to know what my audience thinks about the TikTok stuff. I think I know where you might lie. But I don't know. Maybe it'll surprise me. TheYoungAmerican@gmail.com. If you want to interact with our content, you can do so on TikTok. For now, Justin R. Young. Instagram is Justin R. Young. YouTube is Politics, Politics, Politics. Building up that YouTube, by the way. It's been pretty good so far. Twitter is Justin R. Young. And you can share this podcast with your friends, family, and clergy. PX3podcast.com. You want to hit us with a one-time donation? It is paypal.me/payjury. Venmo money isn't real. That's the good news. The better news is you can send me some of that not real money. Justin-Young-20. Cash App is PX3 Cash, and you can send me anything you like. in the mail. P.O. Box 153184, Austin, Texas, 78715. Of course, you want the bonus content, only one place to go. That is TakePoliticsSeriously.com. $3 tier gets you 2 bonus podcasts per week covering all the news that we miss on our free podcasting schedule. And the $10 tier gets your name right at the end of the show like these fine folks in the Titanic. $10 tier. Sugar Brady, Sam, John, Niemeister, Edwin, and vote Gloria Young for King of the New World Order. Brian, Edison, Jeremy, a dog named Checkers, Sarah, Matthew, Dr. G, Dustin, Brad, D. Laser, Nick, just another pilot, middle-aged Mike, Utah, Jimmy, Montana, The Gen, Alo, D. Really, Andrew, Lisa, Fat Tony's PJs from New York, Devon, the CFP, Gloria, my mom, Gray Zone, Peapaw, J, Neil, John, DP4 Bongo, Neil, his nerdiness, Charles, Audrey Stoll, Adler Spot, Darren, Idris Arslanian, Berkeley Steve, and Nomadic Terran, Molly's Delightful Demeanor, Adam, Chief Andy, Robert, Casey, Paul, and you want to know what? We actually have a new $10 tier who is, for right now, Chad. Yeah, good guy, Chad, man. Shout out to Chad. Salute to Chad. Thank you. That'll wrap it up for us this week. Next week, we've got another fantastic week of programming for you. We'll have some guests. We'll have some political insights. Who knows? We might even have a surprise or two. But that'll be next week. Till then, have a great weekend. I'm going to be up in Ohio. We're going to be showing off my pregnant wife to her family. Everyone's going to run around and say, oh, look at that. We're actually going to surprise my nephew and niece. I don't believe that they know. They're going to find out. They're going to have a little cousin. It's going to be adorable. I'll have tales of that next week. Till then, this is your old pal, Justin Robert Young, saying some shows talk about politics, others talk about politics, and still more discuss politics. But this is the only show that dares discuss. Oh,
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Dog and Pony Show Audio.